Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Adam McManus also with us. And today we're coming back to the matter of church. And the reason why we look at church is because, well, that's a fundamental relationship for the Christian. And God intends for us to be in the church and growing as Christians in the church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. That's Hebrews chapter 10. And yet we're coming out of a year in which very little church attendance has happened in so many different communities, with the exception of those who by faith and with courage pressed on through. We see that happening in America and Canada as well. But Gallup now reports U.S. church membership dropping below 50% for the first time in history, at least as far as we know, some at 47%, down from the 73% in the year 2000. In fact, for 60 years, church membership was upwards of 70 to 73%, almost no variation, Adam, for some 60 years. And then it fell off the cliff since 1998. It's down to 47% now.
Well, and the God-hating group Freedom From Religion Foundation put out a press release. They practically had a party. They're cheering. Dan Barker, the co-president, who once described himself as an evangelical Christian, amazingly, who walked away from the faith, said, "Americans are waking up." To what do you attribute the drop, not only in church membership, now at 47%, but the drop in church attendance from 48% in 2011 to 22% in 2021?
Adam, I think that a lot of the flakes are flaking off. It's obvious to me that the people that continue attending church through the trial of COVID-19 demonstrate faith, demonstrate that they have something of a commitment to not forsaking the assembling of themselves together, even when they're faced with possible persecution at the hands of the state. That, to me, is a good indication there is a solid core of Christian faith left in this country, but it's not very much in terms of a percentage. Actually, a fair amount of that church membership was fluff. If you go through these churches across America and you look at their membership rolls, you're going to find that they have some 300, 400, 500 members attending church on a given Sunday, 147, 223. About half the congregation's not there. And so that's not unusual for churches across America. And I say cross denominations. That could be Reformed denominations, Baptist denominations, Presbyterians, Lutherans. The church rolls oftentimes are way exaggerated. Moreover, you know the revolving door. You've got so much of a revolving door in American church life these days. People come in one door, they leave the other door, and there's so little recording of those that are there, those who are not there, those who may show up for a vote, to vote a pastor out, to split the church or what have you. They may show up once every 3 to 4 years, but they're not faithful church attenders. They're not there to participate in the one another's, to receive the word of God, to exhort one another daily, so much as it's called today, lest any be taken by the deceitfulness of sin. That kind of thing is not happening in so much of American churches. If you move on to this Pew Research report that just came out on March 22nd, this is pretty fresh. I don't know as if we've referred to this yet. I sent this off to you a couple of hours ago, but it is a long report on the religious life in American congregations. And what you see is that only 28%, or I think in this particular survey, 35% plan to attend services on Easter. That's down from 62% normally. But 79% of Americans plan to celebrate Easter. Americans, I think, are waking up to faking it, and they're tired of faking it. Some 34% of Americans have been faking it. They're done with faking it. They're not going to attend church anymore. Regular attenders down, at least in this survey, down to some 19%. I've seen other surveys, regular church attenders now at 22%. This particular survey indicated that American church attendees are down to some 17%. Only 17% of Americans had the faith to attend church in the last month, and that's in the last month. Now, granted, there are some who can't attend, but in terms of those who have the will to attend, they're healthy, they're able to attend either with a mask or without a mask. 17% of Americans had the faith to attend church in the last month. And that's down from some 49%, I'm going to say, in 2011. So in just something like 11 years, church attendance in America has fallen off significantly from some 49% all the way down to 22% per some survey, 17% per this survey. So we're looking at about a 60% drop-off in American church attendance. Now, I'm talking about membership, talking about church attendance. Personally, I don't think membership accounts for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, church membership is down from some 73% down to 49%, but most church membership is a joke. People haven't been attending church for years. The church rolls are filled with people who haven't attended church for years and years. So there's a lot of fluff in the church rolls. We don't want to pay attention to church membership numbers. What we want to pay attention to is church attendance. And what we're finding is church attendance is all the way down to 17%. And that's just people who have attended church in the last month. So in terms of faithful church attenders right now in America, we're at 17% down from 49% 10 years ago. That is major metastasis. This is the Western apostasy now hitting America. It hit the UK, Germany, France, Sweden, elsewhere. It hit these nations back in the early 1900s and later 1900s. But now America is seeing the bloodletting of church attendance right now. Over the last 10 to 11 years, 60 to 70% of Americans have left the church. They're no longer regular weekly attenders. And my friends, this is what the apostasy looks like in America.
There are some for whom their church isn't even open, even as of this moment, as Easter is around the corner. 17% of churches are closed still. Two-thirds say their congregation is now open, but only on a modified basis due to COVID-19, with various modifications and restrictions such as social distancing, mask wearing, limiting the number of people. The church where I was attending with my wife Amy and our three children for years upon years, where I was a Sunday school teacher on top of it, had a restriction of you had to sign up online, register online, you know, days or a week ahead of time to attend. You had to wear your mask the whole time, lots of social distancing. We did not want to be a part of that, and we are now a part of a very small minority of churches. 12% of churches in America are open and operating as normal with no restrictions whatsoever, and that's what we feel comfortable with and what we want our kids to experience.
Yeah, and it's a sad thing to me that regular church attending is downwards of, I don't know, somewhere around 12-14% now. You know, only 17% of Americans have attended church within the last month, which means weekly attenders are downwards of 12-14% at this point.
Yeah.
And I guess my argument would be this: if there was a market for churches, they'd be open. Now, as you said, the majority of them are open, but they've got all these restrictions, masks and all the rest. If there was a market for marijuana, I would think the marijuana stores would be open.
You got that mistake.
Oh, wait a minute. There is a market for marijuana, and they are open. Excuse me.
Yes.
If there was a market for churches, they'd be open. That would be my argument. I'm going to take a break, be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Are you homeschooling but feeling distracted by a thousand so-called priorities? Our homeschools, like the rest of our lives, ought to proclaim King Jesus in every part. But earth-focused plans and man-centered methods so easily get in the way. If you can relate to all this, then we've got something for you. The God-Centered Homeschool, an online summit, is a free online event coming this April 5th through 9th to help you eliminate those competing priorities and reorient your everyday homeschooling around our great God. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. We have a world-class lineup of speakers, including Kevin Swanson, Rosaria Butterfield, Stephen Kendrick, Paul Washer, Leslie Ludi, and so many more. Find wisdom for making Jesus the foundation and focus of every part of your homeschooling. Make sure you register for free today. Just go to homeschoolsummits.com/event. That's homeschoolsummits.com/event.
And And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Adam McManus as well, co-hosting with me. He is the host of The Worldview in 5 Minutes, a daily program, Monday through Friday, available as a download at theworldview.com or generations.org. And dealing with the question of attending church and the attendance to church, essential for the Christian life. That's what Hebrews 10 is telling us. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You got to be in church. All right, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And this is assembling together. The church itself, the ecclesia, are the called out ones who gather together in the congregation, essential for the Christian life. Because then it says in verse 26 of the same passage in Hebrews 10, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversary." What does this mean? Friends, this means that attending church is essential, otherwise fiery judgment. People who don't like exhortations in church, people who don't like to attend church to be stirred up to love and good works, are going to sin willfully and suffer the fiery indignation and judgment of Almighty God. That's what this passage is telling us. These are fearful words and really lay out the pathway for the American apostasy. This is what happens. Only 17% of Americans had the faith to attend church in the last month. In the last month? And that's what, 12, 13, 14% are attending church on a regular basis? That doesn't make any sense to me, but only about 31% of these church attenders have an evangelical faith as well, which means that only about 6% of Americans are even close to being regular church attending born-again Christians. But don't forget, 34% of these support homosexual marriage, which means they've abandoned all semblance of Christian orthodoxy. That puts the Christian evangelical church attending population in America right now at 4%, friends.
Mm.
That's lower than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Now, granted, there may be an additional 2 or 3% that would show up if they didn't have COVID-19. I get that. There is a percentage that is staying away for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do the math right now, only 4% of Americans are evangelical church-attending Americans. Only 4%. We only have 4%.
Mm.
That's nothing. No wonder American Christians have no influence on the wider culture. We're down to 4%. That's outrageous, Adam.
Well, there is something else to consider here. You cannot participate in the sacraments of communion and baptism by Zoom or by video streaming. You have to be there. You have to be there in person. And the scripture that you read ultimately boils down to the importance of accountability. Unless you are face-to-face with other Bible-believing Christians within the construct of pastor and elders and God's authority that he has established in the realm of the ecclesiastical world, you're not going to be held accountable for sin. I mean, if you're living with someone and sinning sexually, that conversation's not going to come up if you're video streaming or Zooming or skipping even that. But if you're there in person, iron sharpens iron, as Proverbs says, and you might get asked, and you should be asked, the tough questions, and your feet should be held to the fire. I was intrigued by this story that you sent to me from Pew Research Center. Yeah. There are a number of interesting figures here. Republicans more than twice as likely as Democrats to say they've attended services in person during the past month, 57% to 26%. One quarter of U.S. adults say their religious faith has grown stronger as a result of the pandemic, while 4% say their faith has weakened. 38% of black adults say their faith has grown stronger as a result of the pandemic. 27% of Hispanic adults said it grew stronger, and 19% of white adults said so. Roughly half of evangelical Protestants who normally attend church regularly, 53%, said that they attended religious services in person over the past month. 38% of Catholics have gone to church recently, and only one-third of mainline Protestants who typically go to services at least once or twice a month have done so. On the second Easter of the pandemic, coming up 2021, 40% of U.S. Christians plan to go to services in person. But as you said, the sham of people going to church on Christmas and Easter to kind of put their toe in the water of Christianity while really living a different lifestyle. That fakery has been stripped away, probably thanks to COVID, as people are now just dispensing with it altogether, although they, oddly enough, claim they're going to celebrate Easter, although without including a church service in that celebration. Presumably that means a nice meal with the family or a brunch out at an expensive hotel or an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah. That's the extent of their religious experience. And, you know, I think we need to say you got to be in church. You got to be in accountability. If you're going to be walking with Jesus, you want to love his people and you want to walk in the light as he is in the light. So we'll have fellowship one with another and fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. This is the basic stuff. And it seems to me that we're seeing the true essence of faith in America today. Only 17% of Americans had faith to attend church in the last month. And only 31% of these church attenders have an evangelical faith, meaning a significant number are still Catholics, liberals, etc., which means that only about 6% of Americans are even close to being regular church attending born-again Christians. And then, of course, 34% of evangelicals support homosexual marriage. So that puts you back down to, well, at least 4 to 6% of Americans are faithful Christians. Using, as I would put it, the most minimal qualifications of what it might look like to be a Christian. Many are called, but few are chosen. Seems as if the words of Jesus are ringing true. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So it is by the grace of God that anybody makes it, anybody's saved. Let's make sure that that word is established here before we're done with this program. It is the grace of God that anybody wakes up to the spiritual realities of our own sin and the devil and our need for a Savior in Jesus Christ. It is by the grace of God that anybody comes alive to these messages and realizes their absolute need for a Savior, that is Jesus, and engages the spiritual battles, realizes the spiritual battles, and engages these spiritual battles through corporate prayer meeting, through the Word of God, you know, in devotional life as well as in our church life. It is by the grace of God we wake up to these spiritual realities and we begin to walk with Jesus and abide in Christ and abide in his words. It is by the grace of God that anybody makes it. Sure, we are to enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way, it leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate, difficult is the way, it leads to life. But it's by the grace of God we make it down that way. It is also by the grace of God that we engage these spiritual battles and live the Christian life. It's also interesting that 79% of Americans are celebrating Easter. That's instructive. That's still instructive. That's still interesting.
Yes, it is.
They're still acknowledging that something very big happened. I'm not sure that they're interested in what happened, but I still think Americans have a consciousness of something big that happened. It's just bigger than a fertility cult celebration with the Easter eggs and the bunny. This, I think the average American is thinking, okay, we're celebrating Easter. Easter represents something big, and it's bigger than a fertility cult celebration with Easter eggs.
Right.
There's a sense in the American psyche that something really big happened. But sadly, 95% of Americans deny the power thereof. They don't want to celebrate the real reason for the season. They don't want to really acknowledge the bigness of what really happened, that Jesus rose from the dead so we wouldn't have to fear COVID.
Yeah.
But 95% of Americans are out there fearing COVID. Jesus rose from the dead so we wouldn't have to go to purgatory and work off our sins. He was raised for our justification. But 50% of American Christians can't believe the story to be that big. Jesus rose from the dead so that we can be justified before God and we don't have to worry about hell or running through purgatory and working off our sins in purgatory. And that Jesus rose from the dead so that we can rise up and walk in newness of life. This is the big story. And I think there's a sense in the American consciousness that there is something big about Easter. They just haven't heard or they don't have an interest in what it really is all about.
I'm reminded of a conversation that Pastor Michael Youssef, who hosts the Christian radio program Leading the Way, had with Tim Clinton recently on Family Talk about his book, This Present Crisis, The Seven-Step Path to Restoring a World Gone Mad. Dr. Youssef said that when he traveled overseas where Christians are being persecuted on a regular basis, they said, "We are praying for Americans." He said, "Oh, what are you praying for? That God would send you more missionaries or more financial help?" I mean, that was his first impulse. And they kind of laughed. I don't know where he was. I believe he was somewhere in a restricted country, perhaps in the Middle East, perhaps in Northern Africa. And they said, "Oh, no, we're praying that American Christians will experience the same level of persecution that we are, because it has absolutely put a fire in our belly for Jesus Christ. The church is multiplying and growing at an exponential rate, and that's what our prayer is for American Christians." Kevin, I dare say that God in his providence has allowed this pandemic to hit America and the world in part to wake us up, because it has led to, additionally to the medical issues at hand, it has led to the government restrictions, the COVID tyranny, the shutdowns, the attempt to control our lives at every turn. And I think that American Christians need to rise up, because we seem to be going in a direction as a country like some of these restricted countries, where free speech is going to be a thing of the past. Censorship of Christians and conservative views is becoming the norm in social media websites, for example, on Twitter and Facebook, etc., and Instagram. And we're seeing Christian pastors in Canada and Christian businessmen jailed in America recently. We just talked about that in the Worldview, because of their Christian convictions. And I hope that the listeners to Generations will just feel a reignition of a fire in their belly for Jesus Christ, for like-minded believers, because I believe things are going to get worse and we need to have a closer relationship with Christ as a result.
You're right, Adam. COVID-19 challenged us. It challenged our faith. It challenged us to love one another within the context of the local church. Challenged us to stand up against tyranny. There's one more takeaway from that Pew Research study I want to touch on before we're done. 43% of evangelicals and 44% of all church attenders say that everybody should wear a mask in church. 43% of evangelicals and 44% of all church members, meaning that pretty much evangelicals, Catholics, they all agree at the same percentage that everybody should wear a mask in church. Here's where I want to end the program. What about the mask? What about the mask? Should you go to a church that requires a mask? Now, my position is the church should not require masks. Our church doesn't require masks, never has. And we've been open since last May, I think, or last April. So, you know, we've been open almost the whole time. But a massive study was just done by a Danish researcher last year, 3,000 participants. These guys wrote an article published by the Journal of Annals of Internal Medicine. They found that in this community-based, randomized, controlled trial conducted in a setting where mask wearing was uncommon and was not among other recommended public health measures, a recommendation to wear a surgical mask when outside the home, among others, did not reduce at conventional levels of statistical significance incident COVID-19 infection compared with no mask recommendation. So that's it. No statistically significant difference. In other words, in this study, wearing a mask did not significantly reduce a person's risk of COVID-19 infection compared to the risks facing those who did not wear the masks. The authors noted that their findings are inconclusive, with CIs, confidence intervals, compatible with a 46% decrease to a 23% increase in infection. Confidence interval is a range of values in which researchers are fairly sure the true value lies.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing the researchers did not look at was the possibility of you sharing your COVID-19 with somebody else if you happen to have COVID-19, but you're not going to get it. The mask doesn't affect you getting it or not getting it. And that's the point that this particular story found. Now, elders and pastors need to make a call on this one. They have to make a determination by grappling with three questions when it comes to the mask in the church. Here are the three questions. Number one, do we submit to the civil magistrate, or can we get away with not wearing masks? And here's an example. The Wisconsin mandate on masks did not hold up in the Supreme Court. So just be aware of that. So elders and pastors can step out in faith and challenge the mask mandate. And many have done that, and they've done it successfully. So, again, this is a matter of faith and courage on the part of elders and pastors. Secondly, pastors need to ask this question: do we want to achieve herd immunity, or will there be too much risk for the aging population? We need to be concerned for the aging population. Some churches have aging populations. Other churches have mainly younger families, like our church. How do we protect those in their 70s to 90s? Perhaps we encourage them to stay at home for a while, and pastors come visit them with the Lord's Supper on a regular basis. Now, this is a question that they've got to consider. Do we want to achieve herd immunity, or will there be too much risk for the aging population? Mm-hmm. Thirdly, here's the third question elders and pastors need to answer. Concerning masks, do we believe that masks have the potential of protecting others from getting the virus, who might be likely to die of it?
Right.
So they have to ask the effectiveness of masks and take a look at the studies for themselves. But here's my encouragement. My encouragement is elders and pastors, that is the leading brothers in churches, need to make the call and not simply roll over and play dead when some governor makes his call.
Or mayor.
It's not a sin to wear a mask. It's not Malum and Say. It's not a sin not to wear a mask, as in Malum and Say. Jesus did say, lest we offend them, pay the tax, or walk the extra mile, etc. But elders and pastors need to stand up and think through this themselves and answer these questions. Now, if somebody owns a store, a bank, or elders in a church mandate a mask, my encouragement, don't be obnoxious. Don't violate private property. They have a right to require the mask. That's their call. You can always go to another bank or another store. You can appeal in a respectful way, etc. when it comes to wearing a mask. Should you leave a church over the mask? It's another question. I would say sometimes we have deeper concerns about a church, that they're not willing to stand against tyranny, or that there is a lack of prayer or a lack of faith in the church. We can be disappointed by our churches or elders. Bottom line is we need to be praying for our churches, because this is a major test. I think what's happening with COVID-19, the mask mandate, and all the rest, is we are seeing a test of faith for not just the members, but for elders and pastors leading those churches, Adam.
Yeah. There is one story to consider, and we cited it on the Worldview. Dr. Jim Meehan, a surgeon who has performed more than 10,000 surgical procedures wearing a surgical mask, has a lot to say about whether the face mask prevents the transmission of the COVID-19 virus. He wrote, "Healthy people should not be wearing surgical or cloth masks, nor should we be recommending universal masking of all members of the population. That recommendation is not supported by the highest level of scientific evidence. The COVID-19 pandemic is about viral transmission. Surgical and cloth masks do nothing to prevent viral transmission. It's like trying to stop a mosquito with a chain link fence. It's exactly why they've never been recommended for use during the seasonal flu outbreak or epidemics or previous pandemics." What's interesting is Dr. Meehan explained that surgeons only wear masks to prevent their respiratory droplets from contaminating the surgical field and the exposed internal tissues of surgical patients. He said, quote, "If a surgeon is sick, especially with a viral infection, they're not going to show up. They're not going to perform the surgery, as they know the virus would not be stopped by their surgical mask." So I think that's very helpful advice.
That's pretty much in line with the Danish study that was just completed late last year, and this is a fresh off the press study available online. Friends, you can check it out if you'd like. But bottom line here, let's see that we increase in our faith and our love for the brothers and sisters and our courage to stand up against tyranny at a moment like this. This, my friends, is a test. It is a trial of our faith, and I'm praying to God that we get at least an A-, maybe closer to an A-plus grade as we make it through this COVID-19 crisis. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Friends, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@generations.org. I would also encourage you to check out my new book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. And I have 4 to 5 chapters on what happened with the Christian church over 2,000 years. And of course, the last 100 years, as we see the fall of the Western church, the decline and fall, and really the diaspora of the Western church in the final chapter in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, available right now at our website, generations.org. It's on the front page of our store. Get your copy right now. It's a pre-order copy. It's a great price at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.